Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator, Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
October 14th, 2011, the Norris Group returns with its award-winning event, I Survived Real Estate. An expert lineup of industry specialists join Bruce Norris to discuss current industry regulation, head-scratching legislation, and the opportunities emerging for savvy real estate professionals. 100% of the proceeds support the Orange County affiliate of Susan G. Komen for The Cure. This event would not be possible without the generous help of the following platinum partners: Foreclosure Radar and Sean O'Toole, Housing Wire, the San Diego Creative Real Estate Investors Association and President Bill Tan, Investors Workshops and President Sean Watkins and Angel Brongeist, Invest Club for Women and Iris Veneration and Bobby Alexander, San Jose Real Estate Investors Association and Geraldine Berry, Real Wealth Networks, Fry Wiles Webb and Branding, MVT Productions, and White House Catering, who will provide the three-course meal for this black tie event. Visit isurvived2011.com for more details.
Hi, thank you for joining us. My name is Bruce Norris. Today our special guest is Sarah W. Stevens. Sarah is the 2011 President-elect of the Appraisal Institute. Fresh from testimony in front of Congress in July, Sarah has been active at the Appraisal Institute in various capacities for 20 years. Sarah graduated magna cum laude from the University of Arkansas at Little Rock, has a master's degree from University of Arkansas at Fayetteville. She and her husband, Richard, own the oldest appraisal firm in Little Rock. Sarah, welcome.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
The Appraisal Institute, you've been attached to that organization for a long time, so I would imagine you're pretty sold on what it does for an appraiser.
I sure am. You know, we are a professional association of more than 24,000 members. We provide, I think, the best and most comprehensive education. Our ethics and standards are a part of what has maintained us through the years, and our designations, of course, indicate quality and outstanding achievement on the part of those who've earned them.
And that's a worldwide organization, too, is that correct?
Yes, it is. We're in about 60 countries in addition to the United States. We have members in China, Japan, Korea, members in Europe and Germany and other countries, and we continue to grow internationally as well as here in the States.
Just as a side note, is the definition of market value the same everywhere?
It's interesting the way that people approach the idea of market value. We're still looking at willing sellers and willing buyers, but in a lot of the countries that we're looking into working with and that we have contacts and relationships with, there are a lot of different property rights, and in some of the countries, the state owns the ground, and the individual owns only the improvement. So it's a very different concept and challenging for us to understand the nuances of each of the markets that we're in, but extremely exciting to expand our scope and our membership past the United States boundaries.
I would think in the last 5 years, if I was an appraiser, I would be very happy that there was an organization with access to Congress to talk about my industry and see if we could get some things that were going not our way maybe back to normal.
Well, I'll tell you, the Appraisal Institute is a voice for appraisers, all appraisers. And while we represent our designated members and the quality that they bring to the appraisal profession, our efforts really are for all of people who are doing valuation work. And our voice is strong. We have the only Washington, D.C. office, and we have lobbyists there who are working every single solitary day for appraisers and for the efforts that we need to continue to make our service to the public a continued part of the financial picture of the United States.
When was the first, or what was the first year when something got passed in legislation that really affected the appraisal world?
Well, I think that most notably, we're still feeling the effects of the HVCC.
Okay.
We're certainly feeling the effects of the Dodd-Frank legislation, which was an enormous effort and beginning to be implemented this year. I think that all appraisers are certainly looking at those processes and trying to not only understand them, but also understand how they impact their practice and their relationships with their clients and with the regulatory scene that they're certainly involved with now.
I'll quote you one of the things that you said. The one thing HVCC did was to reduce value pressure.
Yes.
And that was probably an important thing. I wouldn't remember in California that was, I think a lot of the business was refi, and I think the appraiser was really asked quite often to reach for a number, or maybe they wouldn't get the appraisal. Was that pretty common?
I think it probably was pretty common in a lot of situations, and the one thing that HVCC did is it put a firewall, so to speak, between the appraiser and that person who was continually reaching for that number. Unfortunately, some of the good things about HVCC were overshadowed by some of the things that have become a real problem for appraisers, especially our residential folks who are finding themselves working not in concert with a particular lender or a client with whom they may have developed a long-standing relationship, but now the appraisal management companies and their interaction with appraisers are certainly different from the client-appraiser relationship that many knew in years past.
I think one of the things that we have to really clarify is that long-standing relationships in most cases are earned because of expertise, not because of compliance with a number. So you have a lot of appraisers that really deserve their status of being the first choice, and all of a sudden they can't be.
That's right. And one of the things that has happened, and we've seen this more and more, is that appraisers who have skills, training, professional development, who spend a lot of time with education, who have concentrated on trying to be the best and the best, are now looking at valuation assignments for much, much less fee than they had before, and are often being passed over because someone will agree to perform an appraisal for a cheaper fee and a quicker turnaround time. It's kind of been a rush to the bottom in some instances where timing and fee are the overriding concerns rather than professional expertise and looking for a person who really has the qualities that are needed to perform some kind of valuation that is noteworthy.
With the invention of automated valuation models and so forth, and we teach people to be investors all the time, and one of the things that we really stress is this is not as easy as pushing a button to determine a value. And a lot of people think it is, that they really have a grasp on what something's worth because they can get some kind of results from pushing a button and getting a Zillow estimate. And I got to tell them, and I'm sure your experience is the same, is that that is really not going to provide you an accurate number a certain percentage of the time.
That's right. You know, people seem to forget that really what an AVM is a mathematical model that is combined with a database. And the big issue with most of the AVMs is that they rely on public information, and some of that might be incomplete or inaccurate. And what's missing from that automated valuation model is the personal touch. It's the on-the-ground person taking a look at the condition, taking a look at the amenities, taking a look at all of the features that contribute to value. And this is where a trained professional appraiser, like an SRA designated or an MAI designated appraiser from the Appraisal Institute, makes all the difference. And you're right, that automated value is used by a lot of people, but I think it ignores basically the idea that all properties are not created equal. They may have the same size structure, they may have the same size lot, but that's where the differences begin, is a quicker, better look at what you have rather than just size and date of sale.
Local experience, too, in some areas. I'll just mention an example in Palm Springs where we bought a kind of a custom home on a golf course, but there were definitely superior lot locations, and we didn't have one. And there was a comp for the same house, basically the same size and same builder, that was $1.2 million, and we had our home for sale for $799 for 4 months before it went pending. One of the people that shouldn't have been given the appraisal assignment was given the appraisal assignment and came in at $1.2 million. Now, they really did us a favor because the buyer was thrilled that he was going to get a property $400,000 below it was worth, but it wasn't worth $1.2 million. And he didn't have local expertise. He just had a comp that he thought, well, there it is, a model match.
That's right, and we're seeing a lot of instances where the issue of geographic competence is huge. In a lot of instances, with this rush to the cheap and the fast, we're finding that appraisers are driving 400 and 500 miles to look at a market that they may have no connection with whatsoever. And just like you said, capture a comp, and that's it. And I think everybody will agree that there is absolutely no substitute for the competency that one has in a geographic area with which they're very familiar and with which the data is there for them, and they make the effort and they take the time to verify that data with a buyer or a seller or both and try to understand what happened in that transaction. And you don't get that when somebody's driving in 400 or 500 miles, makes a quick picture or two, picks up a comp or two, and then drives back to finish up that assignment.
It's also hard for the person that's used to making a certain living to have part of their fee taken. And let's talk a little bit about the appraisal management companies. Who are they, and who owns them, and what kind of expertise do they generally have?
Well, most of the appraisal management companies are owned by large groups of folks. Some of the financial institutions actually have their own appraisal management company. The biggest problem with these appraisal management companies for our real estate appraisers is that they're asking our guys to take a part of the fee, and then they're taking a part of the fee. The Appraisal Institute recently did some sampling on the idea of customary and reasonable fees, and this is one of the issues that the Dodd-Frank bill has presented. When a person acquires an AMC, acquires a loan or a portfolio or a piece of property to be appraised, and they go to an appraiser and ask about doing an appraisal, one of the big problems and issues is that the appraiser is often forced to take much less than what their normal fee would be, and then the appraisal management company tacks on their fee. There's really no way that a consumer at this point knows how much of the fee that they pay for the appraisal goes to the management company or to the appraiser. On the HUD-1 form, mm-hmm. that fee is lumped up in one number. Now, there may be some instances where some of the management companies are forthcoming with the amount of fee to the appraiser and the amount of fee to the management company, but by and large, this isn't happening. And many of our appraisers have been forced to leave the business because they can't support a family or a business when they're working for 50% or less of what they've been working for. So this is a huge concern. And, we all have invested a lot of time and a lot of effort in becoming educated, in acquiring, in terms of the Appraisal Institute, a designation, in keeping ourselves current, in becoming as professional and having the expertise that we need to go to the market and to help consumers make the decisions they need to make on the loans and the properties that they're trying to buy. So, people just have decided in some instances that they can't continue to do that and be paid 50% of what they're usually paid. And a lot of consumers see this when they go to close. They see a large fee for an appraisal, and they don't really understand that part of that fee goes to the management company. And you'll notice in my testimony, one of the things that I said was that the Appraisal Institute would like to see just simply either a division of those fees or something come forward through Congress that says the appraisal fee will be paid to the appraiser, and then the management company can pay the fee or be paid the fee that they charge.
And there'd be a different line item, and it would be more expensive for the consumer, because I thought that's what Dodd-Frank was going to take care of, different than HVCC, was there was going to be fair compensation for appraisers that was customary before HVCC, and that didn't happen.
That's right. That's right. That is one of the things that has not happened, and that is one of the things that when I spoke to Congress that I advocated for, and that we must have a return to. We must compensate our people. I don't think there was any doubt in Dodd-Frank that we weren't looking to provide a reasonable and customary fee for our appraisers. Unfortunately, that fee was always, I think, considered the fee to the appraiser and not the fee to the management company and the appraiser. And there's where we have a big difference.
In a market like California, in the county that I happen to live in, Riverside, when we were at its worst, it was 80% REO sales. That was closings. You couldn't ignore those as comps, or at least some of the time, because they were going to definitely at least set the bar. But one of the things that investors have problems with, and this goes back to a fee schedule that is half or something, you know, smaller than what it was, is because our appraisals now are not easy. You really have a very fixed up house, and you might have 7 offers on that house. To me, that is stating market value. And then you have comps where 80% of the comps don't have a kitchen. And it takes a little work to figure out if the number that my house is got 7 offers on is actually a valid sale. And without compensation, I can see where that's going to have a hard time spending the time necessary to come up with the right number.
That's right, and I think it speaks even more to the fact that as time passes and we see more and more of a market that's up and down, that having someone working with you, having a real estate appraisal performed by a competent, qualified person who's invested in education, who's put themselves in a position to keep up with the trends that are in the market, who has geographic competency, who's going to take the extra time to check the comps, to go see what's there, to catch that comp that doesn't have a kitchen, is absolutely going to be the most important thing that as a buyer that you could have, and also as a lender. You know, this is the most important decision, buying a home, owning a property, that most of us make. Mm-hmm. And you should want the best. You should absolutely desire the very best person working for you and working on that. And we'd like to say that that's a designated member of the Appraisal Institute who has the SRA or the MAI designation, or the SRPA.
Well, and those letters really used to mean something. And from what I'm hearing, when you own an appraisal management company, is that being completely ignored?
I don't know if it's completely ignored, but again, I think the overriding feature for most of the people who are working for management companies is the fee and the timing. Let's get it done quick and get it done cheap. And that's just for someone who is going to continue to be a professional, completing an assignment in a tiny turnaround time without the opportunity to extend that expertise to go look at that property, to go understand what's happening in the market, and to view the comparables, it just can't happen. You just can't do it.
Why are appraisal management companies thought to be necessary?
I think that a lot of people think that this is a provision that the banks have to follow. Actually, I think there are probably other ways that they could get around this. It's that firewall idea that has to be built, and that's, I think, a misconception.
Okay, so did you get the sense when you were in front of Congress that they understood the subject matter and that they had taken the time to read your document?
Yes, I thought some of the questions I was asked three questions, and they were right in tune with what I had talked about. Actually, the panel that spoke that day, there were 16 of us who were invited, and it was such a large panel they had to divide us into two parts.
Okay.
And I really think that they're making an enormous effort to try to understand what's happening in the market and to try to help the consumer, not only to protect them, but to give them the opportunity to be dealt with as fairly and as expeditiously as possible.
There was an article just a couple of days ago, and it was talking about appraisals now coming in too low, and that there was something like 16% of transactions were falling out because the appraisal wasn't coming up to the purchase price, you know, the agreed upon purchase price between buyer and seller. And I guess what do you think the reason is for that?
Well, I think that one of the things that's happening here is a real misconception of what the role of the appraiser is. We are reporters of the market. We reflect what's happening in the market, and we don't set it. And the assumption that a lot of buyers and sellers have is an appraisal is somehow wrong if it doesn't match the listing or the sales price.
Okay.
And you know, there's no reason to assume that the contract price is correct simply because it might be higher than the appraiser's value. So, you know, we are a disinterested third party, and we try to reflect what's in the market. And again, the best reflection of that market is going to come from someone who has good training and good education. What we are asking Congress to do is to refrain from legislating the appraisal process and to take a look at exactly what these bills are mandating. This would be taking away our right to report the market, and that's what we are. And it would take away our right to be a disinterested third party.
What's interesting about that is that I'm a buyer of homes, and I resell them, and I can tell you it's definitely part of the market when I put mine up for sale.
Sure.
So you can't ignore the fact that it's going to compete with whatever you have, and therefore it is a valid part of the market. We've only got about a minute left. It sounds like you're hopeful that there's some reasonable thought going into this and that we'll end up with perhaps a reasonable decision.
I am. You know, I guess I'm a real optimist. I think that we have people who are extremely interested in the consumer and extremely interested in trying to make sure that the consumer is protected, that we have an opportunity here to allow the services that protect our financial markets to be the best that they can. And I really got the impression from my speaking in Congress that there's a possibility that this can happen.
Well, I'm hopeful, too, because that would be a very big positive for our industry.
It sure would.
Thank you for all of your hard work, and I'm excited that you're going to get to be part of the October 14th event, I Survive Real Estate, where we're going to raise a lot of money for a good cause and hopefully have an audience of about 400 people very happy they came. So, Sarah Stevens, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, thank you for asking me, and I'm looking forward to seeing you in October.
Thank you.
Thanks.
The Norris Group would like to thank its gold sponsors for supporting I Survived Real Estate 2011. Adrenaline Athletics, Caldwell Banker Pioneer Real Estate, Conaway & Conaway, Del May Properties, Elite Auctions, Inland Empire Investors Forum, Keller Williams of Corona, Keystone CPA, Kukan & Clark Partners LLC, Las Brisas Escrow, Lievis Associates, Mike Cantu, Northern California Real Estate Investors Association, Northern San Diego Real Estate Investors Association, Pacific Sunrise Mortgage, Personal Real Estate Magazine, Realty 411 Magazine, Rick and Leanne Rossiter, Southwest Riverside County Board of Realtors, Stars Photography, UDirect IRA, Wilson Investment Properties, Tony Alvarez, and Weston South Coast Plaza. Visit isurvived2011.com for more details.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com.